You're listening to the Drive Time Radio Show on WGXC 90.7 FM with Big Vern, J-Mac, and we have two guests, J-Mac. and listen, these are not your regular guests. Like, these are like...
sure are.
we have already that's been sitting with us, Kamal Johnson. This is our guy. Let me give him the clap. Yeah, I'm going to give him the clap. Well, look, Tom's a good guy, man.
Tom, jump in the gun.
Yeah, let me go. I'll give him a clap.
I'll give him a real clap.
And we have, listen, we have a guy that, as a radio guy, we have so many issues with this guy. The way he treats Ellen is just, Tom, I like you a lot, man.
It's love.
Yeah, it's love.
It's tough love.
Tom, what I want you to do, all jokes aside, just introduce yourself, let everybody know what office you're running for, what position you're running for, and give a little backdrop of who you are and what you're about.
Thanks.
Sir, please.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you.
I was hoping Slade Diddy would be here, but I guess that's not happening. Because he's like one of the best on this. I think they call him Mr. GXC now. I don't know. There was some doubt about that. But look, let's not be all GXC-ish about it, because first thing I want to make clear is that guy who does that Thursday afternoon show with Ellen is, he's a radio personality, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not the serious Tom DiPietro. Yeah. I'm running for council president, and the big thing is it's really about a primary, because like Kamal Johnson, who you may know, oh, that's him right here.
Yeah.
I've already been endorsed by both the Republicans and the Working Families Party.
Okay, can I give you a clap for that?
You definitely can.
I can give you a clap.
Thank you. One and all. And I think the reason they endorsed us both is because those parties realized they want to place at the table along with the Democrats. And I think it's part of a movement towards a more united Hudson. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still a lot of groups fighting for what they want. But I think we're coming closer to an era where we're actually going to talk to each other and just stop yelling at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it only happens if you speak to everybody, not just to your, you know, inside your little bubble, which is a place too many people have lived in this city. What I bring to running for Common Council President is, well, you know, I've been running the planning board for 2 years and was on the planning board for a while. And I think I've proven there that I know how to run a meeting. And that's an important thing, because if you watch on YouTube or you come to the meetings, you know they get out of control. People yelling at each other, people insulting each other. That's just not tolerable. But it happens because people don't respect the president, the Common Council president. They don't respect the rules of how it should operate. And that's a big part of, you know, how to proceed forward. Now, I'm not sure how, you know, certain people will behave when they're there.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I also wanted to capture all party lines, is because, like, I feel like I can be, you know, a candidate and a person in these meetings that can handle disagreement and be able to compromise and to talk, you know, with respect to the people in the room and to the process that, you know, we owe to the city.
Exactly. And that hasn't happened enough. And, you know, this at the planning board, I've been involved with running this. The biggest issue there has been this whole Colarusso Hall Road project. Mm-hmm. And trying to maintain a fair presence during this has been rough.
Yeah.
But, you know, after some meetings, it's amazing who comes up to me and says, you know, that was handled fairly. Everybody from D.D. Barrett to your buddy Gary Graziano. So, you know, when that happens, you know you're doing something right, you know, and that you're showing respect to everybody. You're not giving away your own bias. And frankly, that's how a common council meeting should be run. You don't need somebody up there either doing nothing, which some people have accused the president right now of doing, or somebody who's going to be up there lecturing and telling the council what to do. You need somebody who's going to steer things fairly.
So Tom, I would like to know and you can let our listeners know, because a lot of people might not know exactly what the Common Council President does.
It's a good question.
So can you just inform people of what exactly they do?
Common Council President is, in some ways, just like a vice president, which is to say there's the different levels of government. There's the council, the president, and then the mayor. The mayor is like the president. The council president is like the vice president, overseeing the houses of government, like the Congress and the Senate. So, and ideally, and this is something I've already committed to, you know, now that we have the one vote, one person alderman rule, mm-hmm. I would not vote unless there was a tie. Because that's the way it really should be. Because there should be a consensus from the council members representing all the neighborhoods on any given issue. If you can't get six votes without my vote, then it's probably not a good proposal anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, there will be exceptions because there are some things that require three-quarters vote, two-thirds vote. And then, of course, I'd vote because, you know, it's not just even. But that kind of gives you a sense of what the role should be. It should be moderating the council, making sure everybody's heard, and maintaining the rules of how rules of order, you know, because it just gets out of hand.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm saying, go ahead, I'm sorry.
The other thing is to get the committees to do some work, because the real work, believe it or not, is done in committee. The committees are the ones who have to bring, and remember this, when you join one of the committees, Kamala, because one of the first things I'll be asking you when I'm elected is what committee you want to be on. And when you say you want to be on a committee, you're going to be committed to, what doesn't happen right now is the committees don't report regularly to the council. So let's say you're on the
Youth and Asian Committee.
Hint, hint. Yeah. And you come to the meeting and, you know, there's nothing that you've proposed. Well, no one knows that because you're not asked to say, Youth and Aging, what do you have this month? If you say nothing, then everybody who sees YouTube will say, well, they've done nothing this month. Mm-hmm. So, right. And that's not necessarily bad, but it keeps people aware of what you're up to. And, you know, you got to bring stuff forth. You have to, the committees have to do something, or there's no point in having it. And by the way, I want to expand committees. The first one I want to enlarge to is housing and transportation. Mm-hmm. Because as far as I'm concerned, those are two of the most pressing issues we have in this city.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So I want to go back, Tom, and you talked about it, and about control and respect in these meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Before they were on YouTube, before Dan was coming and putting them on YouTube, I attended many of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was there. It's really out of control. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that happened with the current Common Council president. It happened even before this person got there.
Yeah.
So what ideas do you have to put in place to try to really gain control of what sometimes looks like
chaos?
Yeah, that's for a better word.
Well, you know, if you follow the rules, Robert's Rules of Order, it's a tough book to look at. But one of the first things I like to do is get members of the council a copy of Robert's Rules of Order for Idiots. Not that I consider all council members idiots, but it's a simplified version of how you conduct. You know, every time a new council begins, they begin with a opening statement by the president saying, here's the way we're going to run things. And then it falls apart. If you adhere to certain rules of how a meeting should be run, you'll understand that the president, the chair, the head of the council has the right to tell people to stop talking and to address their comments, not to each other. I can't, as a council person, call you an idiot and expect to continue in that meeting. And you know, it's one of the things. I know this might sound too crazy, but I'm trying to figure out how to get microphones for everybody. Because if you've been to meetings, especially the well-attended ones, if you're in the back, you can't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that expensive. I've been looking into microphone systems. You know, everybody has like one of those standing mics, and then there's a couple speakers out in the hallway for people who can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ideally, if someone's out of control, you turn off their mic. And that's completely acceptable. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just like you can't tolerate people name-calling. It's said at the beginning of the year when we have the organizational meeting, but then it seems to be forgotten. And, you know, it takes something. I'm not going to use the slang term, but it takes something to tell people to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think some people chicken out who've run the council. You know, because one of the council members, their friend, so they don't feel like saying, you know, shut up, John, or shut up, Henry, just to take two names out of the hat. but, you know, it's like that. You got to, that's the rule, and that's how you work it. And if you don't, you have the right to tell them to leave the meeting.
Huh. The thoughts and views of Tom DiPietro. That of Tom, and not of, you know, Kamal Johnson.
You still want to be on the council?
Of course.
I know you'll do it right.
I've been there. And, you know, I was just thinking of something you said. Some of those well-attended meetings, you know, often happened around the youth center and things to do with youth. Yes. So I want to make sure, and SWAT team. I want to make sure we get in there and we focus on our youth. Shout out to Nick Zachos, who's been, you know, doing his best at the youth center and at Oakdale. But I feel like those guys down there, they really need support,
and they
need, you know, things behind them. And the reason why those are the most attended meetings is because, like, that's what the community
wants. That's right. And, you know, in the long term, I'm hoping that something might happen when John L. Edwards comes up for reuse.
Yeah.
I mean, because that would be ideal. I mean, it's got a basketball court.
Yeah.
It's got showers. It's got everything we'd need for a proper youth center.
Mm-hmm.
And we could put a lot of our city offices in there, too.
Yeah.
Which would be great. Because, you know, they're spread out. The city hall is inaccessible to handicapped people. There's a big hall at John L. Edwards where we could have council meetings. Mm-hmm. It would just be ideal. It's, you know, it's going to be tough and work it out. I've talked about it with Billy Hughes, and, you know, he's on board for trying to figure that out also.
Hold on for a second.
Sure.
I just got to do something. All right. As we continue on, so Tom, I want to ask you a question, and Kamal.
You forgot his name?
Yeah. Well, I'm
used
so
calling
used to
him by his other name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, this is new.
You know, maybe I should come up with a name for my radio show instead of this way. People won't associate that serious Common Council president with that wacko who's on the radio.
So, you talked about it briefly, Kamal. The DRI, that's what it is. The DRI.
Mm-hmm.
Would you both like to have some discussion about it and what you think about it and let the listeners know how you feel?
Yeah. You want to start or you want me?
Well,
how much can you talk about it, Tom? Do you have any like restrictions because you're on?
No.
Okay.
None.
I just wanted to make
sure. I was in on the first conversation.
Okay.
And I did get a little resistance.
Okay.
I knew one ground rule was that it couldn't be exclusively for housing.
Yeah.
So that was off the table.
Okay.
But there is mixed use.
Exactly.
There is mixed use.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Go ahead if you want to take it from
there. No, go ahead. I just want to, you know.
No. Make
sure
I understood.
Paying attention.
Right. That you can do mixed use, and that's got to be part of it, especially if they end up developing where the old CAS building is.
Oh, okay.
You know, it can't be all high-end and businesses and things like that. I was trying to get Promised Neighborhood to be part of the whole thing because Promised Neighborhood and Kites Nest are working towards doing something in the second ward on that property on North Front Street. And the point I kept trying to make was, you know, a lot of it's about enhancing the workforce, getting more jobs. Mm-hmm. But Promised Neighborhood, when it will expand and become a bigger presence, will employ people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crucial to the DRI model, getting jobs.
Okay.
And so they should be definitely part of the whole project. And I know Joni's probably willing to, you know, work with them if they reach out.
Yeah, right. she's listening in.
Oh, she is? Hi, Joni. Because that's got to be part of this. Otherwise, it's just going to be enhancing business that who knows who they're going to employ and what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is also $300,000 has to be spent right off the bat to get community import and consultants. Now, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It can't just be the same old of people who come out and advocate for the thing. People who are listening to this show, you got to come out when these events start happening and tell us what you demand. Not what you'd like, what you demand. Because this money has to really, you know, it's got to be used for everybody's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can, I mean, I'm not going to say it's trickled down because I'm no Reaganite, but it can raise all boats. It can, you know, have some good effect on everybody. And if it also doesn't have, like, things like areas to get people work or training, then it's really missing the point. Because we got to train people for the jobs that are already available here, like jobs in the hospitality industry, like jobs in construction. I can't believe how many people I meet in construction say they can't find people who know how to do carpentry. I have a friend who's willing to teach young people how to weld. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have a way to do that. Now, if there was one of those kind of worker incubator places where you could teach welding, basic carpentry, that would all be great because it isn't out at the community college.
Right.
I mean, they have an auto and they have nursing, but that's about it. Although I hear that they're going to expand to carpentry.
Here's the thing, and before you go, Kamal, this is me standing on the outside looking in. I understand the whole thing about the DRI. I understand what it is and what it's about. But the enjoyment and the excitement from winning this grant, I would like that same hard work into maybe finding affordable housing, because we've been talking about this for a countless amount of years. Yeah. Listen, I understand the grant can't be used to this and mm-hmm. it can't be used mm-hmm. to that, but when you see people that we voted for jumping up and down for something that is not, if it's not explained the right way, can make a person feel like, hey, exactly. listen, they're trying to put us out of the city.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's really scary. Mm-hmm. So it makes me say, okay, I understand this part, but can I get that same energy when it comes to low affordable housing or anything like that? And if and what it seems to be is like affordable housing seems to be like one of those things they put in front of the dog when he's chasing that you're never gonna
catch it.
You know, and that's what it seems to me.
Or it's like a bone you throw and then just pull it back because you don't really aren't really committed to it.
And if that's the case, then let's be honest and say that and find a way, as Kamal had said earlier, and as you had said, find a way for the community to come together where the school district and the police department and all the citizens are working together so that we can get these kids into some kind of welding classes and taking up some kind of these crafts that they need to be able to survive.
What are you running for?
I'm running for radio, best radio personality.
Yeah, you already won that.
No, my
or second, actually.
My point is, it's just me sitting here listening to you guys talk, and I'm just saying, and I agree with you both, but I'm just telling you, because once the DRI came out, a lot of people came to us, and this is what they're saying, and I just think that, hey, I understand that.
They're like, $10 million to do all this stuff. What about us?
Put some energy into this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here's the thing. One of the things that DRI, you want to talk about that or more?
Yeah, sure. Just for me, the whole DRI, like I think it was amazing that Hudson was awarded the grant. I just feel like there should be more community involvement. I know the next phase, there has to be a planning committee and things like that. So I would like to see, you know, more talk and conversation around what's going to happen next and exactly what the money is going to be used for, because I read the report and it's extremely vague. Mm. Everything is so vague on the report. And, you know, to a lot of people in the city, this grant was a surprise. And that shouldn't have been a surprise. And I know they held meetings that they invited the public, but I didn't know. A lot of people didn't know about it. They weren't posted in the right places. They could have came on our show. We do a great job, I think, of you know, disseminating information and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think that if you want the city to feel comfortable and safe when we are awarded something like this and you really feel like it's for the city, then you need to involve them in the process so that they're not afraid. Because right now, I can't lie. Like, I'm one of the afraid people that, you know, saw this and I was like, whoa, you know.
Yeah, you live in the first world.
Yeah.
You're gonna
I could be a bed and breakfast tomorrow.
What That's kind of breakfast though.
I don't know, but
I agree with you totally. And, you know, this is a problem I've talked about elsewhere, and that is, you know, you have these public meetings that get very limited circulation, the announcements. Mm-hmm. My feeling is you got to really reach out to people to bring them into these meetings. You don't just say, oh, another meeting, because the same 30 people come to every single meeting. I see it. I go to them. I'm one of those people. And it's like, oh, you again. And you know what happens? A couple of them actually sort of hijack these meetings and go on and on and on.
Yeah.
When you really want to hear from people who have serious issues with what's going on in city planning.
Now, and I would like to know, not to cut you off, Tom. I don't want to act like one of the council people already.
You sound like that guy in the Thursday afternoon show, cutting off Paul Allen.
But if this grant is so important to Second Street and down in that sector, show me who from that sector was a part of this process.
Right. Yeah.
And, like, that's important.
Well, this city has always had a big problem with process. You know, even a huge supporter of the fair and equal, but, you know, that was done in secret, too.
Yeah.
And, in fact, it's really the only thing my opponent's running on.
He came to my house.
And by the way, since I gave you my card, I was going to come to the Fourth Ward this weekend. Do I need to come?
No. Me and you. I want to say this, listen, and especially about the DRI. And I think Kamal said something that was just great. Like, we want to know who was involved, because what happened is each ward is awarded an alderman, actually two.
Two.
So mm-hmm. if your alderman was involved in this and they didn't let you know, my thing, and I'm saying this, and listen, you know, you guys know, I like you, Tom. I love Slay. That's my guy. But I'm telling everybody, listen, wait, press your alderman.
Kamal, right?
Well, I like Slay and Kamal. But I'm saying, I'm telling everybody to press their alderman. Press whoever comes to their house knocking on their door for their vote. Because right now is the time when you're going to find out who's on whose side. If this is going on, why aren't they letting these people know?
Mm-hmm.
I know about meet and greets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I didn't know. I didn't even know about this.
Mm-hmm.
Like me, I don't think Kamal knew about it either.
No.
So that tells you something. Like if you look at the surrounding of us, so many people come to us to ask us what's going on. We didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
And that's, did you know about it, J-Mac?
The DIR?
Yeah, the meetings and all that.
No, I didn't know about the meetings.
I'll tell you right now, if I'm elected, I will come to this show regularly and let you know what's happening.
You know what? I'll tell you right now, when you're elected, we're going to come there.
That's good.
And, you're going to have to talk to me.
My door will be open to everyone.
Listen, I've been in a council meeting, and I ruffled some feathers.
Yeah.
I'm very good at that. I don't want to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, I just want you guys, in these next couple weeks before the primary, to make sure when you go out to these homes, tell these people the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do like what Kamal said. And Tom, I know you well enough that I know you well. Don't just be there for the primary and then the election and then come back 2 years later or a year and a half later. Be there and help these people through things, because what's happening is, I feel, especially what you guys call third and down, but what we know as third and down, doesn't feel like anybody has their back.
Yeah.
So there's nothing you really can tell them. It's time to show them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not happening.
I'll tell you, the one of the things I've been obsessing about is what to do about Bliss Towers. Ever since I got involved with, you know, coming out to help get rid of the last head of the Housing Authority, and, you know, made my way around the towers and saw things that I could not believe existed in public housing here in Hudson. Ever since then, it's like, how do you fix a HUD building? It's not an easy question. I've been reading about it online. You know, there are open corroding pipes in Bliss Towers. That should not be. The problem is, the new guy has identified how much it would estimate to fix it and somehow thinks that money is not available. But I think it is, because the way HUD works is it's either available or they tear it down. I mean, they have a percentage of how much the renovations should cost. And if it's above that, they tear it down. If it's below that, they're obligated to fix those buildings.
Here's the thing, Tom, and I don't want to cut you off, but I have to. Yep. Here's the thing, and I'm telling you what this looks like. Somebody has been trying to get Bliss Towers for a long time to do exactly what they're doing with this grant. Yeah. So it all just seems like it's playing in the part.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger thing about it is, like, I heard, and it might be a rumor, but the new guy resigned. He's leaving.
Really? Already?
Yeah, I heard that he's leaving. But somebody has been trying to get back that property that they should have never gave away in the first place. But let's talk history, because I know a little bit. I'm not 100% sure. You've been around for a while. You know people. In the beginning of time, when they put those projects down there used to be a wasteland, right?
Yep.
Right? It used to be a wasteland. And that's why they stuck all those people down there.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
Now, it's like, wait a minute.
Now there's the waterfront, and the water's not too toxic anymore.
You understand?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So this is not something that the people that live down there don't know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So this is why people are not so jumping up and down and screaming about this $10 million grant.
You're right. And one of the things I discovered in looking up about HUD buildings is something very discouraging. You know, they tried to tear down Bliss Towers a while back.
Yeah.
And discovered that one thing you have to do is provide one-for-one housing for everybody in there. Guess what? That rule is gone. That's a first step to, like, obliterating Bliss Towers and...
But what do you do with the people, Tom?
Yeah.
Be honest. What do you do with the people?
Exactly.
But Bliss Towers is low-income family.
I
grew up there. So, I mean, the last thing I want to do is see it tore down.
Right.
And especially in the state of what's going on. Tom, have you walked on Warren Street? And then have you gone to your left, like over to Union and Allen?
Exactly.
If you go from Warren, Union, and Allen, it looks like a different city.
To me,
it doesn't even look like...
Like, to me, this whole grant isn't for me. It isn't for us. Like, it's just for the people who came here and helped Warren out.
Yeah.
So now they're branching out and trying to fix places, but it don't feel like... I'm glad, but it's not going to go where it needs to go.
Well, it's only going to go where it needs to go if people insist on it, you know? And but I think it's possible.
Here's something that I want you guys to think about.
Yep.
Go look in the paper and try to find an apartment in Hudson. And yeah. The apartments in Hudson are how much? They're just extreme.
Extreme.
Warren Street, $1,200.
But do me a favor. Go look at Stottville. Go look at Kinderhook. Go look at Stuyvesant. $700.
Yep.
$650.
Philmont.
Philmont, $550. Do you see it? It's written on the wall.
Yeah.
It's written. So, I mean, anybody that has any kind of hesitation or anybody blowback from about this grant, if you, not you yourself, if someone can't understand it, then that means they're not taking a pulse of what's going on in our city.
Right.
And they're acting like the people down there are retarded. And they're not. And I'm not saying anything about Ron being retarded, but I'm just saying they're acting like they're not educated. Right. Let's say that. And they're not.
The people most at risk in Hudson are renters. There's no doubt about it. I was reading a book about gentrification recently. It's talked about, you know, it's one thing somebody, you know, may live on Lower State or Lower Columbia and bought a house for $20,000 years ago. They can cash out and make a lot of money right now. And that's kind of a good aspect of gentrification, right? The bad aspect is for them, right? The bad aspect are people who buy a house that's being occupied by three or four renters, kick them out, and upgrade it to a $1,200 rent.
Or tear down the high-rise.
Tear down the high-rise, right.
Yeah.
So the question is, how do we protect those people? I think we need a registry of people who feel threatened by gentrification, by people threatening their rental status. To know who they are, let them know that the city cares about them and it's going to protect them as renters in the city of Hudson.
But the thing is, the city actually has to care about them. Absolutely. They actually have to do the work.
That's why I want this Housing and Transportation Committee, because I think that's where it could happen.
That's another interest of mine. Hint, hint.
Yeah.
But, you know, because the city is burnt out. And, you know, the people in the city have been told time and time again that, you know, hey, we're this organization and we're here to fix stuff and we're going to make sure you're all right. And then that organization comes and goes. And, you know, there's a lot of grants that come through the city that prey upon, you know, our kids having low expectations so that they can get these grants and things like that. So it never seems like the cycle ends, where it's always like, we're going to get you to one little point and then you'll stay at that. And then, but now with this whole gentrification, like, it's scary that, you know, if we 5 years from now, Hudson could look very different than it does today.
When I moved here, I, like most people, I got here and I thought, this is exactly the way I like it. I realize things change all the time, but it's how you change it, you know? You don't drive out people who spent their entire lives here.
I want to hear from J-Mac. And the reason why I want to hear from J-Mac, one, female point of view. Two, J-Mac is young. She's going to college. And I want to know how she feels about all these things, you know, like... J-Mac, how do you feel, especially about even the conversation of tearing down Bliss Towers?
I don't know. I don't really know, how, like Tom said, how to go about fixing Bliss Towers, but I feel like we shouldn't have to come forward, because you can see it with your eyes. You can see what we need. You can see what needs to be done and what needs to be fixed. We shouldn't have to keep coming out just to not get anything in return. But I know that's a part of the whole process and everything. People have to show up in order to get things done. But, you know, it's like, how many times do we have to ask? How many times do we have to ask, well, when is it going to go towards the youth? Or when are we going to get new buildings that aren't, you know, $1,200 a month or stuff like that? Like, we got that new place over where Greenport School was.
Yep, the Falls.
And it's $1,300 a month. Like, we ain't moving over there. Like, that's not for us. And
you know what the crazy part about it, if you connect that with the DRI, they're gonna fill that up and more, because these tourists, they're making this a tourist. Like, I swear,
hear about Hudson from people who don't live here. Like, there was this blogger who came here and just went down Warren Street. Like, it's just Warren Street. Like, when they come to Hudson, it's not, you know, going to Fifth or going to, you know, where we go. It's just, it's, to me, Hudson is becoming someone else's. Like, it's not, sooner or later, it's not going to be ours. But that's just me.
Then you're right.
Yeah.
So.
What do you think, Kamal? I'm looking at you. Yeah. No, why? Because we do this radio thing. I didn't stumble you all the time. I had to give you one stumble. I want to say, what do you think, Kamal, with what J-Mac said and along with what Tom is saying also?
I think they're both exactly right. And if you can feel the passion in J-Mac's voice, then, like, she identifies with the scope of most of the people who live in the city, and that's their feeling. And I don't want to plug myself, but I'm going to plug myself.
And
because,
here you are.
Like, you know, if you come out and you vote for me at the primary on September 12th, you're voting for a person that's going through the same process that you go through. Like, I'm a person who lives in the city. I'm a person who's renting, and these things affect me. So it's only someone who it's directly affecting is going to fight hard for you.
Right.
You know, everyone else is going to tell you something, but right. If things don't go that way, they're going to be like, all right, well, it just didn't turn out because it's not directly affecting them. The most they can say is, I feel so bad.
Right.
But, yeah. You know, we all in this together. So, like, you know, I would say definitely make sure you give me your full support on September 12th.
Yep. You already know. If I lived in the first ward, you have my vote. Tom, before you reply to that,
yeah,
you came into the room,
yeah,
and you asked J-Mac, did she vote?
Yes.
And what was her answer?
Not yet. She will soon.
Do you understand that? Do you see what that means?
Yeah.
She is a group of these important people that could swing things so
Absolutely.
Many different ways. So that's why I wanted you to hear from her.
Yeah, no,
you know,
I'm glad to.
Because she's important.
Fact, you know, one of the things is I was going over the list of registered Democrats,
mm-hmm.
and I was amazed how many, you know, it tells you like the last seven times you could have voted. And there were tons of people who have not voted, even in the presidential election, which mm-hmm. was a whole other issue. But, you know, and that's a real problem that when you feel that you have, you know, it's how I feel about national elections. Like, my vote doesn't matter,
mm-hmm.
you know? We all feel that way about national elections,
yeah.
except for twice.
But my whole thing, like, as a young person,
yeah.
and I think I can speak for a lot of young people, we're tired of the typical politics of saying this so people can believe it, and then when it's time to do it, it don't
yeah.
happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why, like when Verd said, tell them the truth when you go to their house. Like, I'm not trying to hear, you know... Well, over the course of 5 years, this is what we plan to get done. this and this. No, what are you going to do in your first 30 days?
Right.
What are you going to do in your first 100 days? Like,
right.
I want to hear what's getting done so I can be there and help. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Not
yep.
just
look.
Not
I know,
just sit
I know
and
that,
wait.
Right. I know saying that, you know, starting a housing transportation committee sounds like another way to delay for 5 years. But it is one sign that I am totally committed to the housing issue. I've been reading a lot about it, trying to figure out how to do these things. I've been on a couple committees that try to do these things, but they're so divided. You know, it's a question of leadership too, and getting out there and finding the money, finding the willpower, people who are truly committed to housing.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm not a renter. I own my house, but I'm not a landlord either.
Mm-hmm.
By the way.
No. I was just saying, I was pointing at you.
No, I know you
no,
were.
No, I was pointing at you because you said finding the people that are committed.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. I think that
right.
the people were committed for the DRI. We need the
yeah, yeah.
same energy
yeah.
for housing.
Absolutely.
And that's all
because
I'm saying.
Because the money's there.
The money,
the money
is there.
There.
The money is there.
We need to go get it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I just want to interject real fast, but I want to talk to the voters and just say, like, when you go into those polls in September and November, vote on what can that person do for your future and for the city's future?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm tired of candidates saying I've accomplished this and I've been a part of this and, you know, I was a founder here or like this and that. Like, I don't want to hear about what you've done in the past because the city is at a standstill right now. So what can you do in the future? I don't care about anything you've accomplished before. Like, what can you do now? And that's the reason why we need new energy, you know,
yeah.
on the council. And we need new candidates who
mm-hmm.
are stepping up. And I'm really, you know, I'm thinking positive about the new energy that we have and the new candidates that are running besides myself because,
Calvin.
Like, that's what's needed. Yes, definitely, Calvin. And we're going to push that forward. We can push the envelope where if you've accomplished a bunch of stuff in the past, congratulations. But there's things that are on the table now that are not being talked about because people are too busy, you know, exploiting their old accomplishments.
Right.
Or there's a lot of uncomfortable. Sorry.
Yeah. There's a lot of good new people. Calvin Lewis, John Rosenthal, Rob Bujan. These are all good people, and they're new, and we need some new blood. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What? Say them all again, because I didn't hear.
Oh,
them. Go ahead.
One guy in the first ward, Kamal Johnson. Rob Bujan, also in the first ward. John Rosenthal in the fourth. Calvin Lewis in the third. Calvin's already in.
Yeah.
He has no primary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, well, I mean, Tom, you know, Kamal Slay ain't on the show no more, but you know, my guy first.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the listeners.
Yeah, you know, I know, but you got to put my guy first.
So there'll be new blood. Mm-hmm. And I think we can. Most of all, we can be heard by this mayor. You know, mm-hmm. he'll listen. I mean, I don't know if he'll, you know, always want to. He'll always do what everybody wants him to. Look, you can't always, you know, it's a tough thing right now. There's a lot of different groups.
So there's no primary for the mayor.
He's basically the mayor. He's the shadowing mayor right now. Because there's no race.
Isn't bad in the sense that he's going to be. Hitting the ground running, you know? Mm-hmm. He'll know a lot about how to do the stuff.
I just question it.
A lot of it's ordinary stuff, you
know? Yeah, I question it a little bit only because, you know, I remember when him... Didn't he get into office because of somebody stepped out of the first ward? Because he came from the first ward, right?
Yes.
Somebody stepped out of the first ward, and they had this secret, and I call it secret. They didn't notify
everybody.
Everybody
in the first ward.
Yeah, and then, you know...
And they pointed him.
For me? All right.
But then he had to run.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on.
Yeah. All right, I understand.
We got a caller.
Okay.
Caller, you on the air?
Hello? This is Vern?
Yeah, this is Vern.
Hey, Big Vern, this is Quinn from Casco.
Hey, what's up, Quinn? Let me give you the clap real quick. Hey, Quinn, this is what we're going to do. Quinn is a listener that really enjoys our show,
mm-hmm.
and he called in last week. So what we're going to do, Quinn, I'm going to give you 3 minutes, man. I'm not going to stop you. You got three minutes to go off. When that bell goes off, I'm going to hang it up, dog. So you got 3 minutes, all right?
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
I think Slay Diddy, he's fantastic, and Tom DiPietro, he's also fantastic, okay? They both got swagger.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Tom and Slay, hey, Big Burn gets fired too.
All right, I'll take a little bit.
So does Miss J-Mac.
Thank you.
Now, if Hillary had the swagger that you guys had, she'd beat Trump.
Oh, if Hillary did?
Sometime, my mom told me, she said, fight fair. When you get nasty, you got to bite your ear. Go ahead, baby. Mess them up. Okay?
This call was needed. This call.
And that's what Hillary should have did. But right now, Slay, Tom, Vern, J-Mac, with that money, you guys are going to do good with that, man, because it's in good hands.
Thank you.
We got to get in office first. We got to get them in. We got to vote them in.
You guys got swagger, and Quinn out.
Yeah, right, that's swagger right there.
That's swagger.
Quinn, thanks for
mic
calling.
Drop.
Yo, Quinn, make sure you call next week, man. I'm going to give you 3 minutes every time you call, all right, bro?
Okay, baby.
All right, thanks for listening. I'm going to give Quinn the clap, man.
You can't beat that.
You can't beat that.
You cannot.
Quinn out.
I think that'll go on my Facebook page. Tom's got swagger.
Tom's got swagger.
And come on.
Yeah.
Where were we? Where?
Well, we're trying to.
Yeah.
Speak to
you. Anything else that you guys want to talk about that you think is important? Here's the thing, you know, especially with being a politician, I look forward to them coming to my door. Mm-hmm. And when they come to my door, if I don't like them, I swear at them.
I remember last time you were really upset that somebody dropped off a card and didn't knock on the door.
Yeah. I'll swear at them. Yeah. You know why? Because I feel like politicians, there's certain groups of politicians. There's these guys, and they go out on tour every 2 years or year and a half, and they come by. They don't care. They just want to get these numbers or whatever. And then there's the the real people, the people that stop by when it's not election season, the people that you see actually when you're walking in down, up and down. I mean, there's aldermen that don't even live in the ward. I mean, can you believe that?
Unfortunately,
it's,
I can't.
It's really, like, they don't even live in the ward. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for me, I tell everybody around me, when them guys knock on your door, and if it's 8 o'clock in the morning, you call them every name you could think of. And if they don't walk away, you got a good one there. You know, and yeah, then yeah, you yeah. say, seriously, tell me, is there a chance that we can get affordable housing? And if someone was to ask you that, what would you say to them?
Absolutely, we can do it.
Well, you wait a minute, Tom. Now, we had two mayors. And one mayor did two terms, and we had no affordable housing, and they both spoke about affordable housing. So that's what? A mayor term is 2 years?
Yeah.
So that's six damn years, Tom, and ain't no affordable housing.
Right. But I got a question about affordable housing. Mm-hmm. Affordable housing, is it going to be based on income?
Yeah.
Because that's what income. Always...
And not only that, you have to break down the types of income. See, people talk about affordable housing, but there's a level that doesn't help anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You have to talk about lower income housing. And their scale, you know, that's based on an average of it's the AMI, average median income. Mm-hmm. And then it's a percentage of that. But then you break it down. There's lower affordable housing, lower income affordable housing, lower middle affordable income housing, then affordable housing. We need at the lowest levels and some of those other levels.
Yeah, I think we need it, you know, affordable housing
right.
as well, because, you know, We have a lot of lower affordable housing.
Yep.
There could be, of course, more because there's mm-hmm. a lot of people who are looking for homes and can't afford it.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of people who are working their
yes.
way out
the
yes. of
don't
affordable
realize.
Housing,
Thank
and
you.
Then they can't find housing.
I got to give you both a clap, man. That's clap-worthy right there, man. That is clap-worthy, I promise.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how many people think that everybody in Bliss Towers doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, really? No.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people want to work their way out of there
yeah.
as well.
I mean,
but some of the other housing, you know, the Terrace and Crossroads,
yeah.
these are people who are working.
And mm-hmm. I was living in the Terrace in the first ward.
Yeah,
in
yeah,
the
yeah,
first
yeah, yeah.
ward, I was living in the Terrace. And, you know, after I came out of college and I graduated and I got a job and I started making a little more money, I ended up meeting, you know, the threshold
oh,
where.
Right.
You know, you have to move now. And well, I was just barely at that time
yeah, yeah, yeah.
over the threshold. So now it's like, all right, I no longer can live in this lower affordable housing, but I can't really afford, you know, yeah. the other housing.
Here's another thing I've been reading about. It's community land trust. And how that works is when you get to that point that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
instead of being forced out, there's an option to buy. Because then, and with a lot of help.
That's amazing.
Words, with yeah. With yeah. You know, because the city or whatever, the land trust would own the actual property. You'd own the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been done successfully a lot in Massachusetts. And this is a real, real possibility. That's I've never seen anybody talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get these things out there and on the agenda and people who are committed to it. Otherwise, it doesn't happen.
Shout out to Cheryl K. She's listening in. She's saying you guys are doing excellent. You
Who? Go,
Cheryl K.
I know Cheryl K.
Don't do Cheryl like that. Now listen, we
you
got
know I love Cheryl.
We got
hey,
a saying.
Let's listen to some Miles.
Yeah, Jazz. we have a saying here at home drive time.
With the train now.
We always say black girls mm-hmm. don't listen, but obviously she does because she's listening and she's saying you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, Cheryl K. I love you.
I want to go back to J-Mac. And J-Mac, I want you to ask the both of them anything that's on the top of your head, especially to do with anything, because like I said, you made it clear to Tom that you haven't voted yet, and it's a group of them, and the one thing about it, we know them all and we're friends with them. J-Mac is on the show. J-Mac came on the show as an intern, you know, and her input is valuable. And we want that. So I want her to have a chance to ask you guys anything she wants. She can ask you anything from your favorite color or whatever. But I just want to have a chance to talk to you guys, you know, to see if you guys can relate to this generation, what you call millennials. But J-Mac is the real deal. She's going to college. She was a speaker at Columbia Green.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the co-host of the Drive Time Radio Show. Two-time award-winning Drive
Time
Radio.
Award-winning.
Let me give you a clap,
J-Mac. Wait. Oh, what award?
Yeah, we got two.
You got two.
I know you ain't got one, but it's okay.
Wait, give us a shot. Give us a chance.
I just have a question about the Boys and Girls Club. Because to me,
oh boy.
That is like what would be one of the great ways to help out the youth.
Absolutely.
How do you feel? How would you go about you know, fixing it up and making it better and, you know, making it feel more welcome to the youth. Both. Anyone.
I mean, if you start with me, there won't be anything there won't left. Be
Hold on, Tom. Shout out to my sister Kaya and everybody at Promise. They're listening in. They say we're doing a great job.
Thank you.
You mentioned Joni. Shout out to Joni and the Promise Girls. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't start with him when it comes to anything to do with that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's taken me a while to start paying attention to the youth department because I don't have a kid here. My kids are grown up. I should say, is grown up.
I heard you talk to your daughter when she's getting married.
Yeah, I
remember
too.
I called in and I said, Tom, what are you doing?
She is now married, and I'm proud to say she's doing her medical residency in a clinic in Western Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Shout out to her, definitely.
Anyway, you know, I got over there one day just to see what was going on. I was devastated, just like when I went to Bliss Towers for the first time, devastated to see the condition of that building. Again, you know, there was money, and I don't know whatever happened to that first grant that they got. That's history I don't really know about, but it somehow disappeared. I know there are good people involved. I mean, Tyrone's one of the best human beings in Hudson, and Nick is a good guy too. So there are people there. Again, it needs money, and it doesn't need just money from like the state or the feds or anything like that. The city needs to budget more money for the youth department because. Look at Oakdale this summer. That's unbelievable. I mean, this is where people are in the city. Yep. And not people just up for the weekend. This is where the full-time residents of Hudson are hanging out. And one of the things Nick did, I don't know if you guys know about this.
If Nick did it, we know about it.
he posted around saying, look, all you people, this reputation that Oakdale is a dump is not true. It's the cleanest around. It's cleaner than the Hudson. It's clean water. Mm-hmm. And the only reason you're not going in there is because you don't like the people who are going there. Get your butts over there. It's a great place.
Shout out to Nick. Shout out to Dontel. Everybody down at the Boys and Girls Club. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're probably at OKO doing the summer program, but we're in tune with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what to do about the building? You know, it's, I'm afraid. Mostly, I'm thinking in long term, which I know you're not happy with about saying that it's down the road. But I'm hoping we can get a better building. If not, we got to figure out how to fix that building. I mean, it's just, you know, when you see walls falling down and stuff just such in disrepair.
We need a bigger building.
And a bigger building.
I mean, yeah.
Well, you know, I also like to think that the whole, if Promised Neighborhoods and Kites Nest do what they say they want to do down on Front Street, I think that'll incorporate something that could be a Boys and Girls Club. Because they have the connections already with a lot of the kids. Between the two of them and the city youth department, it could be something unbelievable. And, you know, that's a big part about how to get these things going, bringing together these various groups. You know, at one point, I don't even think when Kites Nest building on Front Street burnt down, one of the first things, I know you don't want to hear about things I've done, but actually one of the first things I did was I said, you know, you should be talking to Joni Hunt because she's trying to build something too. And she didn't get, because of another committee I was on, I found out she didn't get a property they were hoping to get. Mm-hmm. You two got to talk together because you can be working together with more money, and they both have money available to build something really incredible that would serve the youth of Hudson.
To me, and Slay, I'm going to let you go after that. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's almost saying like, okay, we're going to join up all the people that work with the poor kids or the unfortunate kids and put them together. But yet and still, we have all these different other programs that work for all these other kids. Promised Neighborhood should have their own thing. And Kites Nest should have their own thing, and it should be an option. It shouldn't be something where my kid can only go to one.
Yeah, yeah.
He should have the option. And what they should do is they should work, but they should work together, meaning, okay, I'm going to offer basketball, you offer football.
Yeah.
I'm going to offer soccer, you offer tennis. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, now, I've heard complaints from people up in the Fifth Ward that, you know, they used to have a good soccer program, and it disappeared.
But that's the thing, though. It's like, it seems to me, from my point of view, like being in a class that didn't have a lot of money, so we didn't, you know, we didn't do a lot. If parents don't have a lot of kids in a class or don't have kids in a class, they don't care. So if they're not worrying about somebody, they're not going to put forth the money. They're not going to show up for meetings, and they're not going to do stuff. And that's sad because it doesn't take much to get kids involved and to get kids to stay involved.
I'll tell you one thing.
Hold on, Tom. Let me bring this home. Let me bring this home.
So I'm going to tell you right now. We got 8 minutes left.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you 4 minutes to do your thing on this, and then we're going to take our 2 minutes apiece.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to give you 3 minutes, and then we...
Yeah.
Okay.
I need more math.
Regarding the youth center, like, everybody that knows me knows that this is a place that's dear to my heart. I was actually the person who brought to light how the place has really went downhill. And I think there's been a lot of excuses, and the city has come time and time again to these meetings and said, we want programs. We want this place to look better. I put up a post on social media, and we had tons and tons of people reaching out to me saying, we'll do fundraisers for you guys. There was someone from one of the fire departments that said, we will do a day-long fundraiser at each spot, and all the money can be donated to help the youth center. There's people from local businesses that said, run for office so we can trust it. So we can trust that if we donate, we know the money is going to the right place. Like, there's so many options. I was a part of a program called the Railroad Street Youth Project, one of the best youth programs I've ever been a part of in Great Barrington. They do a fundraiser every year, and they have an open bar and things like that where local wineries donate wine and stuff like that, and it's free. And they do a silent auction. And I watched them last year raise $54,000 in one night.
Wow.
One night. And you telling me with Warren Street and all these other people that are around and surrounding places that we can't do that here and raise that for the youth and do something immediately for these youth?
Exactly.
Like, not 5 years down the line. And that's what you get when, you know, you put Kamal Johnson on the youth and Asian committee. Like, man, that's the type of stuff that you get.
I gotta give you a clap, dog. Because I gotta give you a clap, dog. All right, 5:54. Tom, you go first. You got 2 minutes to go ahead and wrap it up.
I saw something very encouraging, just like Kamal's talking about. I went to a fundraiser for the library. Now, you've been talking about, you know, different groups offering different programs. Yeah. Well, they had a fundraiser, and they asked people to give money, and they asked people to give money to programming because they obviously, as you know, they have a great new building.
Yeah.
They raised over $30,000 in about 10 minutes, and it was for youth programming, almost all of it. Youth programming, which further, and these are the people who you're talking about, who are, you know, Warren Street types and all that kind, the newer type people who have money, they were coughing up dough for kids. So it's there. And I, you know, what can I say? It's a great idea, and we should be doing more of that because the city, you know, the city funds are always limited, but there's private money out there, and a good fundraiser would do it. I mean, you wouldn't believe this library thing. It was so well attended, and and you know, they shout out to Shanika because Shanika is now a programming person there, and she's been... And the numbers, they had numbers of kids who were attending these programs.
Yeah.
And it's for real.
Wow.
You know?
Tell people about where to go and you're running and everything like that. Just in a minute.
Well, I'm running for Common Council President, and the big thing is the primary. I've been, like Kamal, I've been endorsed by the Republicans, the Conservatives, and the Working People. Working Families Party, which shows that they just want us. They don't really care about, you know. I mean, I'm actually a Democrat, so that's the funny part. I haven't been endorsed by them. So in the primary, it's on September 12th, a Tuesday, of course. And if you want to learn more about me, I have a Facebook page, Tom DiPietro for Common Council President. You can write me at thomasdpietro@yahoo.com. You can call me at 914-584-5373. I will answer and talk to you directly.
Wow. Kamal, you ain't doing that.
It's my only number.
Kamal's not doing that.
No, because I, you know, I want people to know it's for real.
I respect it, but Kamal's not doing that.
Yeah, well, you know, you can. And if you see me in the street, you know, I'm walking. I'm always walking.
You like pepperoni?
I've come to. I always like pepperoni.
Try. I just like pepperoni sub.
I now like it with tomato sauce.
Okay. It was a joke. He knows a joke. I was only playing with him.
Thank you for having me on, man.
It's don't leave, great. Man. We gotta do a photo op. Slay. I mean, Kamal.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, my name is Kamal Johnson. You know, the listeners know me as Slay Diddy. You've heard my views over the past few years on everything. And if you live in the First Ward, it's very important that you come out September 12th.
Yes.
I'll be a part of, you know, the Democratic primary. And it's imperative that I win this primary. And I just want you to know that I'm a candidate that you can believe in. I'm a candidate that's going to gauge the thoughts of the people who live in the ward. When I make my decisions and make votes, a lot of times these aldermen are voting on things and making decisions without consulting with the ward. And I'm somebody that's going to come back to the table each time, and I'm going to make my decisions based on what my ward says. Ooh. So I'm going to genuinely, you know, represent the ward how it's supposed to be, and I'm going to be a representative of how it's supposed to be. I'm going to go back, talk to the people on every decision, come back to the table, make a clear decision that I can feel comfortable with. So come out and vote September 12th, primary for Democratic Committee, Kamal Johnson. I always wanted to say this, but I'm Kamal Johnson. I approve this message.
That's my guy. So, J-Mac, want to give you shout-outs?
Shout-out Mom, I love you. Shout-out Nani, Aunt Heather, Calista, Uncle Michael, Aunt Heather, I said that already.
Two times. Uncle Glenn, Ryan.
I love everyone.
Nani.
Yes. Shout out Nani and Poppy. I love you guys. And thank you for everyone for listening and supporting.
Shout out to the home team. Shout out to Nita. Shout out to Javen. Shout out to Avi. Shout out to Zozo. Big shout out to Tim Martin. You know, Tim Martin was listening in.
Yeah.
Big shout out to everybody that listened in. Listen, I want to lay this down right now. Tom is a friend of ours. He is. And and you guys know that Kamal is our friend and family member. But this opportunity is open to any candidate that will be running. We are not going to do you dirty. You can come in and do the same thing that these guys did. Me and J-Mac, we got questions. We'll let you tell your story, but we want to let you know that this platform is here. Come on in. Anything, Slay? I know yours.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
We got 1 minute, man. Y'all want
to... Don't forget, it's really important to vote for Kamal in the first ward. It's going to be a tough race there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been endorsed by the Democratic Party. So, you know, you should vote for him.
Wasn't he the only endorsement for the Democratic Party?
Yes.
I believe he
was.
In
was.
The first ward.
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah,
so if you're a Democrat, get your butt out there and vote.
Yeah.
It's all about voting.
Yeah. I want to give a
shout out. Don't complain if you don't vote.
To Joni Hunt, to her father, actually, because when I went to the meeting to originally think about if I was going to run, he said something that was important in the audience where he said he came to look everybody who's thinking about running in the eye, and he wanted to see if there was somebody in there that he can trust. So I feel like I'm that candidate. So when you go to the primary on the 12th, September 12th, vote for me.
I'm voting for you, dog. I can't vote for you, man.
In spirit.
I'm going to vote for you in 2 years.
But you can vote for me.